May I speak now in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So this scripture, we have it every Christmas, we hear it all the time. It's one of those scriptures that we listen to quite regularly. But it's one of my favorites. Have you ever stopped to think about the depth of what it means, these words? In the beginning of our Bible, Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, so John says, in the beginning was the Word. And Genesis 1 says, in the beginning was God. Not God, just God. It was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. In the beginning, created the heavens and the earth was formless and void. The darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light and the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning on the first day. God spoke, God, the Holy Trinity, spoke with the full force of his being, and our world was created. However you believe it was created, or Big Bang, or whatever, God spoke, and it happened. One word of his mouth, and the light was separated from the darkness. Notice that he didn't take the darkness away. He separated it from the light. He made sure that darkness could not hold the light back. We can see in our reading today that God was never content with darkness entering into the world. Yet we as human beings continue to sin and allow that darkness a place. However, We cannot stop the light from shining, no matter how hard we try. But we can push it away and decide to live on the edges or in the darkness. Sometimes the darkness, you know, feels more secure than allowing the light to come in and expose what is in our hearts. As many of you know about my past and the abuse I suffered from the hands of my father, but it reminded me of a picture I drew when I was at college. During my training, one of the exercises we did was we had to draw a map of our lives, starting from the very beginning all the way through to where we were at that point. Some did elaborate ones and had their life in the underground, London underground maps and going in all these fancy places, but I'm not that great of an artist. Mine was simple stick people and stuff like that, but I did the best to draw my life, but what I did was I represented God throughout my life as a stream. So a stream that would go really wide and very thin, and then really wide and very thin. And what I saw in my mind was that in the good times, the river was really wide, and in the bad times, the river was really thin. The reality is, the Spirit of God is always the same. And I began to see that as I drew it. The fact that God was there in the good time and the bad time. The river never changed. I did. I went into the shadows. I went into the edges and allowed the darkness to come in. There were mountains. So along that river, I had incidences in my life. I drew mountains at the highs and valleys at the lows and all those things you would think of. However, I was not sure why. But the very first picture I drew at the top of that picture was a little rabbit in a dark forest who was scared and too worried about what might happen if I moved out of that darkness. The darkness wasn't good, but I knew it and it was secure. And this was a little dark forest that I lived in. I soon realized that my life had been streaming out of the darkness. Subconsciously, of course, but when I was scared, I withdrew to the forest, to the place that I knew, even though it was scary. It really hit me hard and shook the foundations of my life. I then went to the principal of our college, and she arranged counseling for me. Through that time, I began to see that every time I was scared, that's where I went. I went for the darkness rather than walking for the light. Because the light would expose what was in my heart, and that would hurt, and I'd have to let it heal. And that was uncomfortable. Now, of course, I didn't sit there and think, well, okay, I'm scared, I'm going to the dark. You do it subconsciously, don't you? At the end of the counseling, the Lord spoke to me very clearly at that time. He said, I don't ever want you to enter that darkness, that forest again. And I had a picture of the Lord taking my hand, taking me out of the forest, and literally just his hands like this, he said, shut. And the forest shut. And there was no way back in for me. And he took me into a field where it was full of light. And the healing of that day was incomprehensible. I can't explain it. And we took, at the last counseling session I had that picture of the dark forest, and we burnt it on the fire to represent that this was not a place I was ever going to go again. And all of a sudden, I realized that the foundations of my life were streaming from the field, the security of Christ, the light of my light, of my life. And my life changed forever that day. And I was walking through the town the day after, it was a day or two after all of that happened, and I found a little statue. And the statue was a little girl holding a bunny rabbit, and I bought it. And it's in my office, and it's a reminder of what God did that day. So I would never forget or try to go back into that forest ever again. John says just this in our scripture this morning. What has come into being in him was life. And that life was a light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. He draws us into the light and wants us to see that life. Darkness can never satisfy. It only just covers the things that hurt. It helps us build walls and shut doors. That's all that darkness can do. Light exposes the hurt, but it also heals and makes clean. God, the Word, came into the world so that there was a way to overcome the darkness once and for all. He speaks and it comes into being. How then does that affect us? There are two things I want to draw out. There's a lot of things I could, but there's two things I want to draw out this morning. The first is that we are a witness to that light. John himself said that he came to testify to the light. That he was not the light himself, but he was testifying about Christ, the true light. We have seen it. We have seen what God has done in each of our lives, and we have a choice. We can either hold on to that light and save it for ourselves, or we can share the light and allow it to change the lives of others around us. We see in Acts 2 that the disciples made the second choice. They shared it. They devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And it transformed the world as we know it today, by bringing the light of Christ into it. That was the example that the disciples set for us, and it is our mission too. If we want to be witnesses to the light, we need to do just that. We need to devote ourselves to teaching the Word of God, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. It reminded me of the song we sing, I learned as a little girl in Sunday school, This Little Light of Mine. You know, we go around, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And then the second verse says, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. And then the third verse says, don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. So no matter what happens to that light, I'm going to let it shine. And the thing is if I look at all of you here, if all of our lights are shining, it is so much incredibly brighter than one light alone. If all of us allow our light to shine as a corporate body and family of God, then we can be a beacon on a hill, and we can show others and draw others to that light. And the second thing is that God speaks and it comes into being. So what is God saying about you? The God of the universe who spoke into existence, into being, with the same power of creating the world, his authority is speaking into your life. What does he say? There are so many things in the Bible, but I chose a few. Psalms 139 says, For it was you who formed me in my innermost beings. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And it goes on to say, in your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast the sum of them. I tried to count them. They are more than the sands of the sea. God loves his people with every fiber of his being. And that means you, and that means me. Jeremiah tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Isaiah goes on to say, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you in the palm of my hand. And John, we just read 1 to 10, and verse 12 says, yet all who did receive him, those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He says we are his, made in his image. He put us together in our mother's womb. He loves us so much that he's engraved us in the palm of his hand. He has plans for our future to prosper us and to give us hope. Above all, he has adopted us as his children, children of God. And last but not least, the most important thing is that he says we will spend eternity with him. These are only the tip of the iceberg. There is so much more of what God speaks about who we are. And God has spoken these things, therefore they are true, and they are life, and nothing can change that truth. So where are you today? Have you lit the candle of Christ's love in your heart, and are you ready to share it with those around you? Or perhaps the candle in your life has become a little bit dim. You've pulled away from the light and are hanging on the edges. If that is the case, perhaps it's time to walk back towards the light. Each and every one of us who believe in Christ has that light within us, and the light never changes. It's only our distance in our own lives from that light. So if you're at the point of being dazzled by the light, and God is good, that is great. But there are times where it feels like it's growing dim and we're going through difficult times. And we need the prayer and the light of others to help us to find our shine again. So wherever you're at today, the Lord sees you. He loves you with every fiber of his being and everything that is within him. So if you are weighed down with things this morning, I pray that you would just lift those to the Lord. So I want to just take a moment of silence now. Wherever you're at, wherever you feel your light is, that's between you and God. But I want you just to lift that. If it's bright and shining and everything's well, then just praise God in your heart for all that he is doing. If it's a little bit dim and you feel like you've gone to the edge, just ask, Lord, can you help me get back to the center where your light is so that I can shine and that I can be healed? So let us just take a moment of silence, and then I will finish with a prayer. Father, you know each and every heart here, Lord, and you love every one of us unconditionally. Lord, regardless of what we feel is in our heart, regardless if we're on the edges or in the center, Lord, I just pray, Father, that we would realize the truth of your light, that although when we come to it, Father, at times it may hurt because it exposes things, it is the only way we can be healed and come to the truth and the knowledge of your life and your love for each of us, Lord. Give us courage. Give us strength. Help us to know, Lord, that you only have our best at heart. Help us to come towards the light, Lord. And if we feel weak or we feel we're unable to do so, Lord, take our hand and guide us, Father. Help us, Lord, and help us to turn to those we trust, Lord, that we might be able to pray with them, Lord, and come to your grace and your healing this day. Lord, you are the light of the world, and you shine brightly. So, Lord, help us to shine with you. In your name, amen.